Welcome to Norman County.
Well, I just got off with eye makeup today. I don't think I've ever had to get up from a service and go to the back to find Kleenexes before, but today I did. So let's hope I can get through this without tears pouring down. I was thinking, do I leave my glasses on or not? But I do like to see your faces at the back. Hi, stranger. Some faces I haven't seen for a while. When Lynn phoned me and asked me to come and speak today, way back then, and I was thinking January, and I knew it was Gratitude Sunday, and so always, how do you plan a title for a talk? We were going on Monday, on New Year's Day, to put our vision board group together, which Ava sat down in my living room and kitchen and created vision boards for the year, and that was fun. So I knew that was coming up. I know that often after Christmas, many people are kind of a little tight, money-wise. And spiritual prosperity is one of my topics. I've written a book on it, and I speak on it quite often, because I happen to have had quite an adventure in that in my life, and I like to share that. So I just wrote down on the email back, money in the bank, thinking, it really doesn't matter what the title is. I can take that wherever I want it to go, I guess. And then as the weeks began to go by, I got close and, what exactly am I talking about here? Money in the bank. What exactly does that mean? Oh, yes, we all know the dollars that are in the bank account. How important it is. I have lived where I've had a lot of money in the bank account and very little in the bank account. And I'll tell you, it's much nicer to have a lot. Because when you get an unexpected big bill come in, like I did the other day, and I'm still recuperating from that, it's like, you don't even have to think about it because it's there. Security in a whole different way, form. But what I have found in our society is that very often we do not know how to create that money in the bank. I was raised in New Zealand, as many of you know, with an older father who taught me that saving was really important. In those days, we were in pounds, shillings, and pence, and a few of us that have had British backgrounds will know what that means. But I'll turn it into dollars. My dad would say something like, if you earn a dollar and you spend $1.05, you're in trouble. If you earn a dollar and you spend 95 cents, you'll be okay. I've done both ways. Much nicer when I only spend 95 cents. So I learned also how to save money. I have many different ways of saving money. And when things get tight, because I have a tendency to create this tightness at times, which I don't particularly like, I fall back on those. I begin immediately to go back to some very good habits. It's funny how we lose those from time to time. Like, where do they disappear to, It's like they fly out the window. Next thing you go, what am I doing here? All right, forgot my good habits. And so when we look at this, is how do we, first step, and Reverend Laura addressed this a few weeks ago in a talk that she did that I absolutely loved. She was talking about embracing what she had, and she was down to $600. How she embraced that. And what that talk actually gave to me was how mental I, blinking well I am. Because I always say, accept things as they are. And I realized that's my mental attitude, but the emotional quotient of that is to embrace where you are. So in my consultations and things, I now use two words, accept and embrace. Because what my journey has been to learn how to feel. So what have I done? I sat here and cried most of this morning. Didn't expect that. I'm a little tired, yes, but didn't expect that. And that's okay. I cried before when I talked. It's one of the things that they teach you when you're learning how to speak. If you cry, you cry. Just keep talking. Talk through it all. And so I've learned to also, over my years, is to
what I do have. Our minds are very interesting things. Our consciousness is what directs where we want to go. It sets out the direction. But the energy that drives that direction, which is the real engine, is the feeling level that you put behind things. And actually, I sat down with my little mini iPad this morning and I typed in gratitude on my dictionary app to see what it said. The feeling of being grateful or saying thank you. Thank you is the mental quotient. Gratitude is the feeling. I can't say, I think gratitude.
Just try it out for a minute. I think gratitude. Gratitude.
But feel grateful. Feel grateful for what you have, no matter what it is or how little it is. We're talking about money or friends or family or situations. Be grateful. Now, I often say, my people who are close to me, you know, my biggest enemy for me personally has been my own complacency. Because I do this when life gets a little funny and I get back to my good habits and I create things and I create it really well. And guess what? Then I get complacent. Because it's all flowing good. Forgetting that, you got the next step to work on, the next stage to work on. Now, when I was, one of the things when I was sitting here with lots of tears coming down my eyes and my eye makeup was totally gone, I'm sure, was that I went through a shift this last Monday, not quite a week yet. And you know, when you go through a shift or you have an energy awareness and you have an energy new alignment come in a real feeling way, there's a little fear that comes. What if you can still do what you did before? Can I still bank on what I'm good at? Because you're different. You ever known that when you wake up and you know you're different? Or you had an experience and you know you're different? And the day after this occurred, the thought came to me that I think of over the years quite often. Before enlightenment, I chopped wood and carried water. And after enlightenment, I chopped wood and carried water. And I reinforced by myself because I still have my clients that I'm working with everywhere. I still have people coming. I still have this talk to do, which is the chop wood and carry water. And dear God, please make it that it works. Because honestly, when I stand up here half the time, I don't know what I'm going to say. Oh yes, I come in alignment and they haven't really let me down yet. I've been sniffly all week. But then I've always known that when I'm sniffly within 5 minutes, I can usually talk very, very well. So that's good. So that's another thing I have in the bank. I do know from experience that, yes, I can get through that. But, man, I'm changed. That should, although the weight didn't drop with 2 pounds I wanted. But anyway, I've changed. Can anybody see that? No, probably not. But I've changed. How will that come across? Will I be more authentic? Will I not be worried? In the bank, I know, it's not so much money, I just know from experience. Now, we don't have a lot of super young people here today. We have a couple.
Most of us have had experience, but it is like money in the bank. And hopefully, we learn from some of those experiences. For instance, we know some basic principles. One is, we create what we think, correct? Isn't that what metaphysics say? We create what we think. How many of us actually know what we're thinking? We don't know what we're thinking all the time. We're like icebergs. We consciously become aware of maybe 10, if we're lucky, 15% of what passes through. I spend a lot of time watching what my thinking is, and sometimes I go, what? Where did that come from? Because we forget that there's a collective consciousness out there that is thinking all sorts of things, and most of it I don't even relate to. So, we create by how we think. We also create, these are my words a lot to my clients, we create by how we feel.
judgment on what your feelings are. I have a lot of clients that come in, and I say to them things like, I see you don't like to feel. And we talk about that for a little bit. And I see that you have judgment on what you feel. For instance, I would think that you don't like being angry, correct? I think me and others usually agree with me. You see, many of us were raised in religious backgrounds, or even just family backgrounds. I was raised like that. It wasn't good to cry, for instance. Yeah, right. It wasn't good to get angry. Then you go to church and that said, you know, it's not good. I've even heard some big spiritual teachers say, angry is not good. Now, in my model of teaching, you only get angry and frustrated when you feel helpless. And you only feel helpless when you feel unworthy of having anything on the outside of you different from what it is. And the only source I've ever seen that works with, the only thing I've ever seen that works with that is to get in contact and connect to what I call the source of life. God, if you will. Whatever name that you wish to call it. My Muslim friends call it Allah. Most of my metaphysical friends call it the divine universe. I call it divine essence. No one goes and looks at what the image is. Do you know the difference between anger and passion is just a matter of feeling level, of color? I have taken students and said, remember when you were last feeling angry. I have trouble myself now with that. One time I had lots, I could remember. And then I say, okay, now clean it up energetically. Clean it up. And what you're left is passion. Now put that behind your thoughts. Because it fires it. But what ends up happening to us as we are creating, we end up creating what we don't want because the thoughts we have that we don't want have more energy fire behind them. So what happens is we're not consciously responsible. It's not that we beat ourselves up again because we were feeling angry. I always say to my students, if you feel angry, look at what you're feeling helpless about. Now, the only thing I'm going to say there is when it's grief. Because people pass away, like Herman, and with his mother, and other people. They leave us from this physical form and they move on. We cannot do anything about that. So there's that acceptance and or embracing that. And that's where I find my own spiritual support system kicks in. Because I can do that quite quickly. And I know that I'm grieving for my own loss of missing them physically. Not because of their own progress. But I've had clients that have mourned for over 25 years. And they wonder why their lives don't work. Part of having money in the bank, or anything in the bank, is to know how to let go of it. When we're holding on too tight to anything, we will lose it. Because nothing can give in. And that is one of the things when people start creating and generating monies, and or love, and or anything, and then they start being, oh, I can't lose this. Happens in relationships, you fall in love. Remember that? Somewhere back there, I do. Oh, I love that stage. And you fall in love, and then they say something or do something you don't like, and guess what? You don't say anything because you don't want that feeling to go away. But it's a little check. And then something else happens, and guess what? You don't say anything again. And pretty soon, that lovely feeling that you have has gone bye-bye. And you wondered why. They didn't really love me at all anyway. It was because you were afraid of what you had in the bank was going to disappear, and you weren't truthful to yourself. You weren't truthful to yourself. How we respond is the third way we create. Most of our problems and troubles come because we don't let go. Or we do not address what is going on. It took me years to learn to come out and say what I felt in close relationships. Years. Because I was scared of losing. And the moment I wasn't scared of losing, I could speak my truth. Well, I lived anyway, but you know. I wasn't so afraid of speaking my truth anymore. So let's take a look at this. How you think. What are you really thinking? What are you, now, another thing, a little thought came into mind with something I read this morning, which is, you know, law of attraction, a little quote came in. I was going to write it down, but I didn't. And it was, went something like this. That you will only attract what you decide on. Now, you see, we forget this all the time, is that we create through decision. All your belief systems that everyone talks to you about, all these things that come into your life have all come because of the decisions that you have made. Now, yeah, soon I'm going to, next month I'm talking to you about past life. I'll give more about that then. But truly, the decision that you make. So when you're having these thoughts go out, what are you really deciding that you want? Are you thinking in relation to the vision that you want? Now, when I'm in my good habits, and not complacent, I will take just a few minutes every day, doesn't have to be long, and really concentrate my thinking on what it is that I want. I will put energy behind what I want. Not la la la, yes, the angels and everything will bring that to me, but yes, I want this now in my life, thank you very much. Gratitude. Thank you very much for that. Thank you. I use thank you because I'm speaking in my mind. And then you respond. How are you responding? You know, most plans don't work out really, really well. I wish they did. Most plans we plan, but some things can go a little wrong or some things can, you know, not be exactly the way you want. So how do you respond? Do you get upset? Do you back off? Or do you say, okay, what do I do with this? How do I handle this? Life is an interesting journey that we sign up for. Some of us sign up for hills and valleys and mountains and changes and trustingly we grow through that. And some people, you look at their lives and you go, oh, they look so smooth until you talk to them. I was talking to someone the other day, and it was one of those, nobody has been through it like I've been. Nobody has had it so bad. I know that you had your terrible time, but it's not as bad as mine. I'm sure we're all familiar with that. And I reminded that person that you cannot possibly judge another person's pain. I was married to a man who had a tremendous pain, physical pain threshold. He lost part of his finger, and after a day said, oh, I don't need these painkillers. Then there's me that's in pain, and I don't want it at all. Give me whatever, please, until it's gone. How can we absolutely judge or assume that we know what that pain level is when you have different pain levels? And I've had a number of physical pain in my life through my back, and other ailments, and knee surgeries, etc. I don't know what pain is. I'm much better at it now than I was when I was younger. But still, that somebody would say, my pain is greater than your pain? We handle our pains differently. We either wallow in them, or we get up and we shake ourselves off and we go right back to basics. The money in the bank works because you put it there. That's how it shows up, correct? You put your money in your bank account. No one, well, the government put some in mine now, but that's nice. And I appreciate that, Barack. Really appreciate that. But basically, it got, in fact, our system has changed a lot from when I first grew up, when you got something in your hand and then you place it in. Which is, by the way, created a lot of poverty consciousness for people. But I'm such old school, is that, you know, I like to handle money because it's real, it's an evidence of their love energy moving around. But basically, you have money in the bank because it's put there. So if you want something in your life, you're going to have to put it into your vibrational stream. Now, the odd time in my life, great surprises have happened to me. Some great and some not so great. And then I have to work with that. But mostly it's like, how do I want to live my life? What do I want to achieve from that? What's my bank account looking like when it comes to creating? Just take a moment. A silence of a minute to think of your vibrational bank account.
That's 30 seconds.
Long time, isn't it? A minute of quiet, this last 30 seconds, to contemplate the vibration of our bank account. What have we put out to get back? Because that's what the most states.
I actually see a little differently, believe it or not. Don't I see everything differently?
What have you requested to come? What is your expectation? You know, when I was on this side of this journey, people would talk to me about expectation, and I'd get really upset. I've done that with several words in my life. Expectations, that surrender was another big one. I didn't want to hear that either. But what is your expectation? I don't mean up here where it has no relevancy. I expect things to work. I do. I get really shocked when something doesn't work. So I go, oh, how come that didn't work? What didn't I see? What was it I missed? Not that it's their fault or whatever's fault. So how come that didn't work? Do you know what I find? That it usually doesn't work is because I haven't given it enough thought. In that the picture of what I was wanting was placed with energy. It was kind of like, oh yeah, this is going to da-da-da-da-da. Because I can get, I used to anyway, I'm an older now. Quite. But run. So what are you placing in your bank account? Think of your life, like with dollars. I don't know about you, but I have, since we got into $2 in particular, a can where I place my $2 and $1, and then I have another place I put quarters. It's part of my saving plan that go on, and every now and again I have to go and count them all out and go, oh, look how much money I have. $2 and a $5. 50 $2 pieces. It doesn't take long to get those. And if I leave them in my wallet, it's too darn heavy to carry around. My poor arm gets so sore. So what is your plan? What are you expecting? What are you wanting? I expect my phone to go for clients, because that gives me my extras that I need. And plus I enjoy my work. I like it when I don't have any clients in my book. I don't like it at all, for lots of reasons. But also I don't get to do what I love to do. So think about that. But think about, are you deciding you're going to do whatever it's going to take to get whatever it is that you want? In the tarot, there are two parts about the decision factor. Again, it took me a number of years to figure this out, but I knew that decision was important. But there's another level to decision, and that's commitment. You see, Reverend Laura and I actually are going to be on the same flight to Puerto Vallarta from Calgary on Tuesday. By total, what do you call that, happen chance? I had some friends. I had made the decision last winter that I was not going to spend the whole winter here without going somewhere in the sun. Right? That was my decision. Thank you. Friends of mine from Ontario rent a two-bedroom apartment for a couple of months down just north of Puerto Vallarta, and they invite me to go down to them, with them. All I have to do is get there and have some spending money. Isn't that nice? Nice thing. Thank you. Grateful for that. But hey, I should think about the airfare. I've had a lot of expenses last year that I wasn't counting on.
great vision. And I can decide, yes, this is what I'm going to do. And then the opportunity will come, but guess what? Now I'm going to commit. Because once you're committed, well, you can always back out, but then that's the thing that feels good about it. So it's like, yeah, I'm committed. So I'm committed to go up to Kelowna early in the morning on Tuesday, get on a flight to Calgary, and fly to Puerto Vallarta for just over a week. So my clients now that I'm finding it, well, the earliest you can see me is February. That's okay, too. Commitment. Are you committed to putting money in your bank? Do you know, it's like when you owe money. Actually, I'm just going to skip in my head, so I'm going to say it. It's like when you owe money. I've had people, I've been very generous over the years and loaned money to people who need it, no problem. But very often they feel they have to have the whole amount to give it back to me. And I keep saying, well, I think it's time that you just started to pay back a little bit, just because you're going to have that with a bring responsibility. A little bit at a time is much more than none at all, because you're waiting. And I have one often this happens with students, because I will be very generous with students paying me back. Like, they'll come in, and I want, and most of them are very good, by the way. I get my monthly check, and that's great. But every now and again, you get one who just never seems to learn what they're being taught, and never get out of whatever's going on. And I'll just say, you know, $50 a month, $100 a month, so just get it going. You're priming the pump. You're not holding things back. Remember I talked about holding tight? Holding tight does not work. Does not work at all. So you want to be able to free up things. So you make your commitment, you follow through. If you're going to save money, you're better to put $5 a week away than nothing. So one day some crazy bill comes along like I just got the other day. You have the money to pay that. It's called freedom. Money in the bank is more than just money in the bank. It's an attitude of life. It's a commitment to create what you want to create. It's a belief in you, in God, in all things. Now I just want to touch on one more thing, and that's blessing. Those who know who come to my Wednesday night groups, and by the way, you're all welcome, and some of you have been, and some still come. I'm always happy to see you. Just drop in, whoever's there. Know that when we put the donational bowl around, I always bless it. Well, why do you think I do that? Why would I bless this money? It's coming in my pocket. It's because when you give anything, if I give you a compliment, if I give you some money, if I give, it's just as I'm going to give some money to the center here because I support the center to continue. I give it from my heart. It's energy. Money to me is love. And I say this to some of my clients who have real money issues. Just think of it as love. Think of it as I'm giving you love, and you take that love, and you give it to somebody else, and then they give it to somebody else, and it winds us all together. It's just a little word that we call money. I had a husband once, and he said, I just wish we didn't have any money. And I just looked at him and said, well, what are you going to call it? He said, I don't want your pig or your cow. I want something that I can use in exchange. And it's like, oh, people don't always think of that. So do you bless it as it passes through? Do you bless your wallet? Do you bless that bowls that are going to come around in a second or two that support this center that you can come and sit in those chairs and hear a speaker and sing songs that have you cry? Do you bless it? That's energy moving in. It will enhance your life. Doesn't matter if it's $5 or $50 or $500. No, it's the practice. It is the continual practice. It is the moving into the habit that says, these are the ways I want to live my life. And believe me, when you start to live, your life
or improve.